KUOW 94.9 Seattle, Tuesday, January 15th, 2008. I'm Jeannie Yandel. The human hand is capable of more delicate movement than comparable organs of any other animal. It can wield a tool or a weapon as easily as it can make a subtle gesture. So when a human loses her hand, she's lost a remarkable implement. Yoki Matsuoka wants to ensure a loss like that isn't permanent. She runs the Neurobotics Lab at the University of Washington, and that's where she and her staff build robots that function like hands and other human body parts. And I'm with her at the lab now, and her four-month-old son, Murdoch, is with us too, so he might voice an opinion or two. Yoki, when did you first start thinking about building robots that worked like humans?
Quite a long time ago, you know, even sort of the end of my high school, I really wanted to build a robot that could play tennis with me.
Why did you want to build a robot that could play tennis with you? I like that idea, I have to say, but why did you want to do that?
I really thought at the time that I was becoming a professional tennis player, so that was my life. And, you know, around that time, I was looking for different type of tennis players. And, you know, humans come in certain ways, and I thought it would be really nice if I could hand-tune them. So I thought if I built a robot and then had different knobs, different style or different strength, or, you know, also depending on a day, if I'm a little tired, maybe, you know, lower the skill a little bit, I thought it would be really great to have such a player.
Well, why didn't you become a professional tennis player? How did you wind up here?
Well, you know, I was always interested in science and math, and that was something that I've always pursued constantly, even on the side of tennis. But tennis has, I've had a lot of injuries in high school and college. I broke my ankle 3 times. I snapped my Achilles tendon. Lots of things has happened, and it really sort of lowered my ranking. So at some point, I had to really reconsider whether another alternate path would be better for me long term. So that's how I ended up pursuing PhD in basically robotics, and then ended up being a professor.
Well, I'm talking with Yoki Matsuoka, and we're here at the Neurobotics Lab at the University of Washington. And this is where Yoki and her staff build robots that function like humans. And over here, there's actually, it's a finger that you guys have built. So I'd love to get an explanation of this. And initially, I thought it was built bigger than a human finger, but it's actually built to scale, right? This was modeled on one of your students' fingers, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I have a staff who is relatively a large person, but we model the finger to have precisely his finger shape and so, or not shape but finger length. And we wanted to do that because one day when we built this anatomically correct robotic hand, we wanted to be a prosthetic hand too, and we wanted to be able to explore the world in a similar way that we do and also be able to attach to somebody and then look very normal.
Well, it looks really pliable. It actually looks like it's built. I know it's probably not built out of latex, but it looks like a latex-ish substance. It's kind of the same color as well, and it's got the same number of joints as the human finger, and it's got little wires on top and a metal rod sticking out of the back of it that attaches to this engine that works as essentially the muscles.
That's
is that
right.
correct?
Yeah.
So why build a human hand?
You know, so even starting from when I wanted to build a tennis player, I really got into it, and in college, I joined a lab that was building robotic legs, and then as a PhD student, I built the arms and hands. And that's around the time that I really started to realize that hands are the ones, that the part of the body that distinguishes humans from other species, and human hands are the reasons why we have our society, we build things, and we communicate. You know, our hands are not only used to explore the world, but also sense the world. And we thought it's just such an amazing part of the limb to mimic. And if we can't provide those function back to those people who lost them, then we're not providing the human function back to them. So that's why I thought it would be really neat as an engineer to build that part.
Well, Yoki, let's go over and check out something else in the other corner of the lab. I described it a little bit earlier as it looks like a small construction crane. And aside from you, the two other people here in the lab both kind of, there was a little flinching going on. So I'm sorry to use that particular word for it, but it looks like a small construction crane. What is this machine? What will this do?
Sure. So this robot that we constructed with my graduate student, Brian Dillon, and his team, this is called a haptic device. Sorry, Murdoch has an opinion.
Yeah. Murdoch apparently was more interested in the finger than he is in this device.
So, yeah, this device is called a haptic device. The word haptic means sense of touch. And it provides a way for people to hold on to one end of this robotic device and then to feel virtual objects. So feel meaning they have force feedback.
What does that mean exactly, force feedback?
Force feedback means that, so if, say, you know, maybe something that people can relate to these days, say, you know, game, as you're feeling or as you're playing in a virtual environment, you know, maybe you want to feel some of the objects. Maybe you want to feel the car you're driving. You can actually get the sensation on your hand or finger or leg as you interact with this robotic device.
I'm talking with Yoki Matsuoka, and we're at the Neurobotics Lab at the University of Washington. And Yoki runs the lab, and here they build robots that function like human limbs. Yoki, why is it important to you to build these machines that function like human limbs and organs?
I think, you know, I really originally started out selfishly thinking that I wanted to build, you know, if I build arms and legs that function a lot like humans, then I can be that much closer to building a tennis player. But these days, you know, I'm really interested in building something that would help those people who are either amputated or are paralyzed. And the more limb functions that we can mimic, the more function we can bring back to those people. So, you know, more human-like we can get, the better.
Why is it important to you to help those people who have lost limbs?
I don't know. I think there are two reasons. You know, one is a selfish one. One is a selfish one where I thought, you know, helping injured athletes. So that really relates to missing limbs or paralyzed limbs or injured limbs. You know, might have a potential for recovery, might be a permanent thing. Is there anything we can do to augment them so that they can be enhanced, you know, they can become the enhanced athlete? But turns out that there are a whole lot more people in the world who are just not only, you know, just they normally function and just enhancement is needed, but people who can't even do daily tasks like eating, you know, driving. That's really important for them to have independent lives. And that really hit me hard when I found out about that. So that's the reason why I think that if we can provide even normal or even some of the function back to them, that would be really interesting to do.
Well, it seems like a big part of this work is learning how the human body works and how the human body sort of operates and functions. So it does make me wonder if this is about learning about the human body in order to build better technology, or if it's about learning about the human body in order to help people.
It's both. You know, really, in a way, we call our lab neurobotics. The field is called neurobotics for the dual reasons. You know, we are interested in finding out more about humans, the neuroscience, how the brain controls the motion, all the way to biomechanics and the, you know, physiology of humans, onto robotic technology. You know, can we improve the robotic technology in general? And then looping all the way back, so that can the robotic technology help humans? Can learning more about humans improve robotic technology? You know, all of that is very important.
Yoki and Murdoch, thank you very much for talking with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Janie.
Yoki Matsuoka runs the Neurobotics Lab here at the University of Washington, and the goal of the lab is to build robots that work like humans, robotic limbs that work like human limbs. Yoki recently won a MacArthur Award for her work. You can learn more about the Neurobotics Lab at the Sound Focus homepage. That's at kuow.org. Our producer is Jeremy Richards, and our interim producer is Sarah Waller. For KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Jeannie Yandel. Tuesday, January 15th, 2008.